This seance was recorded on the 9th of September.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Nice to
meet you.
Very well.
Good.
How are you?
Oh, very well. Wonderful tonight, of course.
Why tonight, especially? Are you wonderful?
Well, it's been walking on air. Well, tell us now. How's everything going? From your point of view?
Exactly as I anticipated, it has gone very well indeed.
It has.
In fact, almost better than I hoped.
Really? What about the photograph?
Are you talking about Castellaneta?
Yeah.
I knew
I was talking about Castellaneta.
I thought Lynn was referring to something else.
No. You're asking about a photograph.
I think you will be very pleased with the photograph.
Yes. Oh, because they haven't got them back yet. We were hoping we'll get some tonight.
It was a not meant to
It was.
It always been one. As you will see later, the results of all this will come to the surface more in a year's time than now.
Good gracious.
This is the beginning.
May I ask something?
I know exactly what you are going to ask about the boardroom.
No, actually I wasn't saying anything. I was going to ask in reference to the photograph. You don't think that if there is something rather strange, that at the processing station they may try and eradicate it?
No. All I can tell you is that not only was I present the whole of the day, but others too, including my mama, my papa, and my sister, and other people, other members of the town who have since joined us here.
Right.
In fact, there were more people from our side connected to the town than there ever were. It was a very big occasion. It is difficult for us to say exactly how much may have manifested in photographic sense, that it is a day which will be remembered in Castellaneta by many people, and they will have cause to remember it more so later.
Can you make any reference to what you thought I was going to say?
Well, I think it's obvious to you, or should be obvious to you, that when we do something, we do it not in any sense for self, or even sometimes for the people that we are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It is true that we are concerned with you, but we are also concerned with others, and the effect that we may have upon other people, and in what way we may be able to help other people. And it is important to remember that the impression you have made there is a lasting one, which will increase with time, not decrease. And you will become as familiar with Castellaneta as possibly you are familiar with many other places in this country which are familiar to you from childhood. In other words, you will be very much part of the town eventually. And you will see why, because you will be linked to the town in this strange way. Already you have made the beginning of something, and you will be enabled to assist this person that we refer to. Because here you have an opportunity to help someone, as indeed I can assure you would like to, because this person is in need of help. You know, I have to leave Italy for various reasons, not for the obvious ones exactly, although it is natural to us too that I leave Italy to make my name in America in pictures, and by consequence I am remembered. But that doesn't alter the fact that there are reasons beyond that, far more deep and more important. It is not the impact that I have made by my work in the films that matters to me so much, as the fact that I have been able to influence, even more so since my death, many people in different ways, in various respects, to understand things which normally perhaps they would not have had the opportunity. In other words, the influence of my work, my life, has been felt more since my death, in a much higher sense than it could have been if I had lived and possibly been forgotten. But that is only part of my story. This young man is in need of help, and you can help him. He shall be given an opportunity which I feel sure eventually will be accepted to find a new way of life, and through him I shall be able to help others. But this is something which will take time. Do not be disappointed if nothing transpires for a while, but it will eventually. When you return, you will get to know much more closely the family and the person who faces you, and then you will be able to sow the seed for this person to have a new way of life. But this is only one aspect of the whole story. It was not, as you say, just that you go to Patronetta to see the house.
It just wasn't accidental.
You see, in life, we have to learn. And sometimes to learn means to suffer. Sometimes it is only through suffering that we find the true purpose and meaning of life itself. And so it is, and you will see how you have been led and guided, how in the past you have been disappointed and disillusioned and disheartened. When you have hoped so much, sometimes it hasn't come to pass. And if it hasn't come to pass, it seems to come so much later that you wondered why it should be so long, and if it was even worth it when it happened. This is life, but only part of life we find opportunity in the strangest ways to assist and to help other people. Going to Castellaneta does not mean only just to see my house. The house in itself is unimportant. The fact that I was born there is unimportant. But it is what influence you can bring to bear there that matters. What you can do indirectly and even directly to influence others to a higher plane of thought, and also where possible to assist the only one person to find a new path, to give them a greater insight into God's purpose, and to give them an opening which they would not have, as indeed I would not have had if I had stayed there any more than if I had stayed in any other place. It was to me that one sometimes must uproot oneself and go into a new world, and to lose oneself, even one's identity, and find a new identity. It is only when you are able to see how the path is led, and you begin to tread it and realize it, and that you find that you are indeed being used, as I was used by other forces higher than myself, so you will find you are being used, each one, individually, to assist others to find that truth which you have found. But this you will see gradually evolve. This going to Castellaneta is the beginning of something which will take a long time eventually to bring to fruition. But you will see the purpose, you will see the web that has been weaved, and you will realize that you are being used by higher forces, not only myself, higher than me, to do a work that will assist many people to understand many things. But you will understand more of this in a year's time than you can understand now. The things that happened to you were not coincidence. Everything that took place, to some extent, was arranged, pre-arranged by me and others, so that you should gradually see, to some extent, the pattern forming. The weaving, as it were, of the tapestry, which one day you will see more clearly, but remembering that every incident had its place, had its link. It is a link, a binding chain, that holds us together in unison, in harmony. There is no weak link, for while each link is firm and strong and sure, and holding fast to the other, so shall we build between us such a chain. It will bind many to us in strengthening love, and many opportunities can be given to others this fortunate. This truth, which is above all truth, which is the basis of all creeds and all religions, which is the very foundation of life itself, will bring that harmony and that peace to many who yet not know it. I want you to be patient. It is not easy. You know why I will be patient. Sometimes you don't see the rhyme, as you say, or the reason, or the purpose. Sometimes you question us, sometimes you doubt it. All this is very natural and very human, for you are human and living in a world which is complex and which is difficult always to see clearly the path. But this path that we have prepared for you, each one, is a path which will bring you untold happiness. And what is more important still, the happiness that you will bring others. and the peace of mind that you shall give to them, the opportunities that you may present to them, and those who are less fortunate, as indeed there are many, you will be enabled to assist this one person that you meet on the bus. He is a member of our group. He is an old soul, much, much older than you know. He is highly sensitive. He is indeed one who needs help. He does not fully realize it himself. There is much there that is fine and good that can be developed and brought out. He needs, like the bird in the nest, to use his wings to fly, to soar away, and you can help him. But do not be too anxious. Bide your time. Do not be too obvious. Be patient. Gradually you will see why, in that respect alone, which is only one of many things, you have been sent to God for it. It is not only to see my heart, it is not only to see the place where I was born, it is not only to take photographs and to meet prominent people. It is not the prominent people that impress me so much. It is the ordinary person, the simple person, the person whose needs are greatest. You, each one of you, and those that you already met there in Castaneda, are bound with us in this work. They do not understand it in the same sense that you do. Their eyes have not yet been opened. They cannot perceive as you perceive. But gradually they will know, they will understand, and they will bring a new life and a new way of thought to many people in their own community. There should be a broadening of vision, and there should be an opportunity given to them to serve as you serve. But you must be patient in this. My coming to you all is not what it may seem, even on the surface. It is true, I have told you many things. Certain things I have been able to make more clear. Other things I have had to make, the time being at least obscure. We must remember that in time itself, many things may happen. And we think of a life not from birth to the grave, but we think of life flowing through many bodies, through many times, many periods of history, where we are all caught up and bound up for a time, and then we lose each other, we come together again, until such time as we have finished the work we have been set to do, until we have to some extent, as it were, fulfilled that which has been set us to do. We have developed beyond a certain point, and we can then be released, if you like, from the things that bind us. These things that bind us to the earth, these things which sometimes we do not even like, we do not even understand perhaps fully, these things gradually are clarifying. And as we progress, so we loosen the hold. But the tie that binds us together in love is always there. But the other ties of the material senses, material conditions, they eventually disappear and we are free. This freedom is itself something which we cannot describe. It is a freedom where we feel, yet free though we are, still bound one to the other. But it is a freedom of love, it is a bond of love, which knows no barrier, which knows no tie, and yet recognizes the perfection which we are all striving to attain. Because as one cries, as one discovers, so does the other. For we learn from each other. But we must first learn and remember and realize that we are not free to ourselves. For that which we have become is partly from the conditions of others. By their thoughts, by their labors, by their love, have we grown in consequence. Each takes something from the other. And as each takes from the other, so the other stimulates and in consequence grows in knowledge and in spiritual grace. We must remember that we cannot live to self. We must live for others. And when we live for others and forget self, then we ourselves begin to develop. We arrive, as it were, beyond the material conception of things. I am grateful for all the experiences that I have had, all that has transpired in my existence. Whatever they have been, whatever I may have suffered, whatever another may have suffered, I am conscious that from that they have gained much that is good. Indeed, I would say it is only through sorrow, it is only through suffering, it is only through suffering that man eventually rises to the heights. It is not so much from the joys and the things of the earth can give that give pleasure temporarily. That's it is that to have suffered is to have learned, and to have learned is to grow. And to grow means that you gradually evolve, and you evolve in a sense of freedom and peace and tranquility of spirit, and in such love and in such harmony that all else is unimportant. All these things bind us together are in themselves truths that are eternal, the loves that are eternal. For beyond all these things that they are the things that are permanent and never changing, never lasting. Be of good heart, be of good faith. Have no fears for that which is to come, but to know that each one of you have been brought together, to link together in harmony and in love and service, that each one has been set a task, and each task, as it were, is part of the complete, and as each task is fulfilled, so each one goes forward a little further and helps the other. Many people you have not yet met who will meet are also linked and bound together in this chain with us, the chain of life, which is eternal. There is no such thing as time. The time is of little consequence, for that which is of the spirit is freed of time. Outside it, it may yet be confined within it while it is upon earth, for a space of your earthly time, but that in itself is like a grain of sand in the desert. You must remember and realize this, that though your lives are important, they are only part of so. They are only infinitesimal in time itself. Do not look upon one life as the beginning and the end. It is but one bead, as it were, on the necklace, which one day you will see in its full beauty, and you will then see it crystal clear and realize how important each individual life was, and how you have been bound together in one chain of love. These things, which cannot yet be revealed, will one day be made more clear to you, and you will see not only this one incident of Castor Letter, but you will see in many instances, in many ways, how the hand of the Spirit moves, and how you will consequently are led, and how you are brought together for reasons which yet seem obscure, that one day shall become obvious. We are one in spirit and in truth. The words of the Spirit, which cannot pass away, these words that are seared in the hearts of those who understand, shall be the unwritten law, the law of life itself, which shall guide you spiritually beyond the confines of the earth into the heights of the Spirit. Be of good heart, be of good faith, unite in love and in service, do what you can where you may, and know that when you have been labored somewhere, it is to do some work for someone who is linked with us in love. Do not despair if sometimes things do not seem to go according to the plan, or the plan as you see it, for our conception is not your conception, and you must remember that the ways which we use are not man's ways, nor the earth's ways, but when the time is right, then shall the fruit be plucked from the tree, not before, not until it is ripe. For some of you, the tree has not borne fruit, and the time shall come when it shall. For those of you who have seen the fruit and cannot reach it, you shall be enabled to climb up to it, and it shall be yours. And to some who are not ready, and who have picked up the fruit from the ground, dropped, that is bad, and is of little use, it is because you have not struggled sufficiently, you have not made the opportunity for you to reach the fruit when it was ripe, but you are content to sit upon the ground and wait for it to drop in your lap. That is not the way. That is the fruit that is of little use. You must make the effort. You must collect the fruit when it is ready, when it is ripe, and you must know the time to pick it. And so, I want you to know that each one of you shall one day receive the fruit fresh from the tree when it is fully ripened. Do not sit upon the ground and wait neither climb the tree until the fruit is ready to be plucked. Know that each one of you have been together, Lord, for this work, and the tree that bears the fruit is strong and healthy, and is good to look upon. The spring shall bring forth the blossom, and the autumn shall see you gathering the harvest of the fruit. In the meantime, all is well. Be of good faith and good heart. Be in unison and in love, and in service shall we thrive together as one. All as we have said, and in the time it is to be, you will see the truth of my words. I know there must be at times certain things across your mind. Things that puzzle you, things that confuse you, things that cause concern, and in some instances even doubt. But I would remind you that I do not come to you, perhaps in the way that some would expect to come. I come to you as I am now, not as I was, as I am now. The words that I use are the words of my today, not of my yesterday. Do not think of me necessarily, though it may be difficult for you to do otherwise, as I was. Think of me, if you can, as I am now, remembering that face and form and outward shape, important though they may be while yet upon earth, but that is not so in spirit. By this I mean, it is not by outward form and shape the man is. It is but the casket, it is but the shape that holds within it that part of man which transcends time and space. I can bring to you many shapes, many forms. You would not recognize me. You think of me as you have seen me. But that is not me. That is but my outward body and the flesh, which once served me as a vehicle of God's expression, for which I am but a part. The spirit, the soul of man, is indefinable and indestructible. But through the body, something of the spirit shines. And if in this I am remembered, then indeed am I happy in consequence. We think, quite naturally, quite rightly, and justifiably, of those near and dear to us, by the outward form and shape. So much that is near and dear to us there is. Yet we know in ourselves that this is not. What happens when death comes? The body retains its shape. The life is gone. That animating force, that personality that was, that creative spirit, no longer rests in the casket of the body. Do not grieve that which is gone. Remember it if you may, if you wish, for it is human so to do. But it is that which one becomes, rather than that what one was, that matters. The animating spirit through all the various bodies through time itself is the life. The body is the vehicle of its expression. In my last incarnation, I was able to express something of the soul and the spirit, not of one generation, but many. My body was but the vehicle of it. Remember these things. When you think of me as you must and as you will. This I appreciate. But in remember that it is a spark, a divine spark in all of us. It animates the dull, cold flesh into life, warms it. That which breathes into it is the very life of God Himself. And as we express His love through our bodies, so do we become known and loved in confidence. And if I left behind some memory, some warmth, some character and personality of a higher sense, then I did not fail in my last incarnation. But I want to try if I can to make him see that in all humanity, in all these houses of the spirit, the animating force which is love and creation is found. Since I have left your world, I have been privileged to meet many souls whose names are familiar to you. These souls have become my companions, my friends. And among one who oftentimes comes to our group when you sit together, Francis, the Francis, we should call him Saint Francis. Blessed. He is one who is close to me. For he and I, centuries ago in time, were together. We founded the Brotherhood. This is another link in the chain which I speak. To those of you who are not familiar with what you term the incarnation, I say, keep your mind free, open, be tolerant. Think not that God only gives man a few paltry years on earth to work out his salvation, his destiny. Man is animated by a spirit that cannot be quenched. Death cannot bring about its end. Fire cannot destroy, nor flood drown it. The spirit of man is unquenchable. It goes forth through many bodies and many times until it has reached the stage whereby it is essential that it passes from the lower matter into the higher, take upon itself a higher form, a higher body, and it then dismantles itself from the things of the earth, which is assimilated, all that it can assimilate from the earth. It is taken, as it were, from the earth all that it may, all that is essential for its experience, for its knowledge, for its growth. A life upon earth is but, as it were, a short sojourn in time. When you consider that the earth has been in being for untold billions of years, that man has had his form and his shape and has been animated by the spirit for untold centuries of time, when you remember and realize that through all these experiences, man has gradually assimilated much, has been essential. He has learned also to discard much. It is in the throwing away and the taking upon himself that he has found reality of God. Man has created many gods in many ages and many times. He has formed many religions and many creeds and many dogmas. He has worn upon himself the apparel and the robes which to him seemed natural and essential in his time and his age. As man has changed in his thought and his opinion and in his gods, so has he changed in himself. Gradually he has freed himself from all the things which held him in chains to the earth. As his mind became free, as his spirit became strong, as he went forth more and more in strength and knowledge, so he gradually released himself from the chains of the earth. It was essential and important that as a child learns in the class to equip himself for the world outside, goes through many classes and stages, has many masters and learns many lessons, and is oft times punished too. So it is in life itself that you go through the various stages of evolution. For man must evolve. Man must pass through the ages.